Yeah.
Welcome back to What's Ailing America, the ultimate in reality radio. On this show, you will not only learn what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn how to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world. And, of course, the most important thing we all need to figure out together is the solutions to transform this living hell that we live in into what could be, if only the psychopaths did not control everything. I encourage all of you to check out my website, reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. Click on the vaccine-induced disease tab, print out the diagrams, listen to the conference I gave explaining them. The first diagram is the big picture. And, of course, if we're going to be able to face reality as to what's going on in this hell that we live in, we have to have minds that work, minds that can critically evaluate. And, of course, there's so many ways they're trying to hypnotize us and take away our ability to think. So, in my opinion, health comes first. Once you have your health, and especially your brain function, then you will be able to face what's actually going on. My other website is drcarly.com. That's for those of you a little farther along in the waking up process. Definitely check out my paper, Inoculations, A True Weapons of Mass Destruction. Because, one of the most important things that they're doing to destroy our health is inoculating us with disease. Please always remember that just knowing the truth will not set you free. You have to act on it. And, of course, compromise with evil is impossible. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites, which I use those donations to purchase books for my research as well as medical articles which have to be paid for. And I have so many proving that they know exactly what they're doing. It's just mind-boggling. You can also help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. Thanks to Ron at Dependable Voice, I have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that the number's been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but because of the huge numbers of requests I get from people that want to, you know, contact me on Skype, I have to just use Skype for international clients and radio shows. So if you're in the U.S., Canada, or Caribbean, you can call me toll-free, and therefore you don't need to do it by Skype. I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies. The archives of my shows, most of my shows for the past few years, can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. Within those archives, there's another link for my Sunday shows on these changing times. So that will keep you busy and you can really get up to speed in terms of learning what's ailing America, because I cover all subjects. Please also support the Orion Network by donating on the homepage and or buying a t-shirt to help spread the word about the station. I love that idea of wearing a t-shirt and you're out and about and people can see the station name and check it out, and they will get so much truth as opposed to the lies they're getting from the mainstream media. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 716-213-6816 or toll free, thanks again to Ron, at 888-320-6151. However, we do ask that listeners not use the toll free number to listen to the show. Very important, callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever's speaking. I also want to mention that the station has had all kinds of problems with their website. Those problems are being resolved. So please be patient and realize that the owner of the station is just really working overtime to take care of these problems, which I'm not surprised that he's having because of all the excellent shows that are telling you what's really going on. As I mentioned, my Sunday show is on thesechangingtimesradio.ning.com every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. The title for that show is What's Ailing the World. Of course, it's the same as What's Ailing America. On tomorrow's show, my guest will be Zion Crime Factory. And you can go to thelighterdayradioshow.com to get more information on how to hook up with that show on Sundays. I also encourage all of you to get yourself a colloidal silver generator, because now that they've weaponized rabies and are spraying it on us, and of course we're, you know, seeing cannibals being created, go to reversingvaccineinducediseases.com, click on the link section, and you will learn about the generator that I use personally for myself and all my pets. On today's show, the answer to the question, what's ailing America, is waiting for God to save us. And my special guest, once again, is Pastor Eli James, and I'm going to bring him on in a second. But before I do, I have all kinds of interesting synchronicities that happened to me. And this morning, I was listening to C-SPAN, and I caught a conference that was given by one of the master Satanists, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. This was a talk she gave on July 30th, which was aired on August 4th, which you can, check it out yourself by going to cspan.org and click on the archives. And actually, the title of the talk was International Religious Freedoms. She was a speaker invited by the Carnegie Institute of International Peace to give a talk on international religious freedoms after the State Department released its International Religious Freedoms Report. And, you know, the idea of an international peace institute, what a joke, because all of these monsters, all they do is create war. But interestingly, they don't have an international health cures type of conference, so that would be a little bit too obvious if they had that, because of course that's their last wish, is to cure disease, they are creating it. But I was amazed, and I must say, developed an ability to read between the lines as this monster mentioned Article 18 of Universal Declaration of Human Rights and stated that everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This includes freedom to change religion or belief, and freedom either alone or in community with others and in public or private to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship, and observance. Now, the reason this is very important is because the psychopaths that are controlling the world are doing it under the guise of religion. They're Holy Talmud. And if you don't know about the Talmud, I definitely suggest you check that out, folks. Sherry Schreiner has an excellent segment called Tidbits from the Talmud that talks about how they promote pedophilia and all kinds of other things, stealing and killing, you know, weak boy and all the rest of it. But I just realized from watching Satanist Clinton that this is a very important part of them protecting the psychopath. Because once you make the religion following the Talmud a religion, then they are protected. And it doesn't matter that everything they do is harming humans, plants, animals, the very earth we live on. They have to be protected because that's their religion. Now, of course, the one religion they don't talk about is Satanist slash Luciferianism, because that would make it a little too obvious even to the brain-controlled sheep that there's a problem here. But let me just go on, just a couple more things here. Clinton said that these principles bring people together in heartfelt unity and furious disagreement for us. Religious freedom is a cherished constitutional value, a strategic national interest, and a foreign policy priority. In other words, religion is a national security interest. Dang, dang, dang. she's speaking truth, but, you know, in her own special little way. So basically, she said freedom of conscience makes us able to make moral choices for ourselves. Well, of course, therefore, if your religion is the Talmud, you have a freedom from conscience. And she also stated that in a genuine democracy, rights of all citizens are protected. So when the Talmudic Jews practice the Talmud and injure the Goy, rape their children, kill them, steal everything they have, their right to do so must be protected. This is their religious freedom. So this is how I realized that democracy protects the Talmudic religion. And lastly, let me just mention, she even stated this. Governments use religion to light a match where they want to stoke a fire for their own purposes. So I'd like to welcome you on the show, Pastor Eli. Isn't that amazing?
Well, yeah, you're talking about the Luciferian agenda and how they disguise their evil agenda with flowery-sounding language. It's always disguised as human rights. But when you find out that the agenda is being imposed by the international cartel of bankers and other criminals, and that they have their own private definitions of words, which they don't share publicly, right? It's a secret society.
And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is waiting for God to save us. My special guest is Pastor Eli James. And Pastor Eli, if you could give out your website, and also, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I know that your website was recently taken down by the ADL, so if you can get into that a little bit.
Right, yeah. Well, the address is www.anglo-saxonisrael.com. Again, anglo-israel.com. And my other website, which is still up, is killthebank.net. That's killthebank.net, which still has all kinds of great information about Mystery Babylon, the world Jewish empire of merchants, how it dates back to the ancient days of the third beast of Revelation, which was ancient Babylon, where they invented the fractional reserve banking system, okay? And they invented fiat money at that time. And the Bible predicts that it will become a great, the largest beast of all time in our day. And it calls it Mystery Babylon. So that's what that site is devoted to. And we're working on getting Anglo-Saxon Israel back up. So I'm definitely being attacked by the beast. And no doubt about it. How are you?
Yeah, how did you find out that I think you... you think that the ADL is behind this attack, correct?
Oh, yeah. I was given a copy of the letter that the ADL sent to my web hosting company, which is PowWeb, okay? And mm-hmm. They listed a number. I think they're they're investigating so-called hate sites, right, which is nothing more than someone who... exposes Jewish criminality, is accused of being anti-Semite, bigot, you name it, right? So so they sent me a copy of the letter sent by the ADL to them, and it listed my website as being the number one offender, or at least first in the list, of offending websites that need to be taken down because it offends the ADL.
Right. So apparently they have special privileges. And I just want to mention a regular guest on my show, J.B. Campbell, came up with this idea of starting a group called DAJA, Defense Against Jewish Aggressors. And I love that idea because how is that going to be made into a hate crime if we have proof, which of course there's mountains of proof, that these psychopaths are destroying everything that matters and taking over every aspect of society? Then why should we have the right to have our own, you know, group such as that?
Right. Well, there's no doubt that the ADL is the mouthpiece of organized Jewish criminality. You know, we're talking about the Mossad. We're talking about Zionism and the evil empire that has invaded Palestine, even though the Jews aren't even Israelites. They have pretended to be Israelites for the last 2,000 years. and using that pretense, they invaded a country of people that never did any harm to a single Jew, ever, including during World War II. So this is quite a, you know, quite a monumental affront against morality across the board, what the Jews are doing to the Palestinian people. It's just pure evil. The fact that they have brainwashed the Judeo-Christian world into believing that they're God's chosen people and getting the Christian churches to sign on aboard this railroad train that's going to wreck in hell. It's quite amazing, Dr. Carley, how they have brainwashed an entire planet to believe this garbage. But the Bible predicted that this would happen. Revelation 12:9 says the beast will deceive the whole world, and indeed it has.
Right. And of course, that's one of the problems I have, is that the beast is being allowed to do what the beast is doing.
Right.
But we'll get into that more in a minute. I just want to also state that this is such an affront to free speech. You know, that's another thing that Satanist Clinton was talking about on C-SPAN when I saw it this morning. You know, all people have a right to free speech, blah, blah, blah. Well, isn't it funny how that right to free speech becomes a hate crime whenever you're talking about what the Zionist Jews are doing?
That's right. That's right. As Orwell said, some people are more equal than others, right? They make up the rules, and they choose not to follow their own rules.
Exactly.
That's hypocrisy. Luke 12:1, Jesus says, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And the Jewish Encyclopedia admits that today's Judaism is nothing but the same religion as the religion of the Pharisees, which Jesus Christ condemned up and down, backwards and forwards, inside out, throughout the entire New Testament.
Yes, Congress is the Sanhedrin. But let me just ask you, because this is something that I find so amazing, because I live here in the Bible Belt, North Carolina. You can't find a church a Christian church that doesn't have Zion in its name. So how do these pastors ignore everything you're saying? That Jesus was not a Jew, that he talked about the synagogue of Satan, he talked about all these things. So how do these pastors just gloss over that?
Well, it's a matter of infiltration. It basically started with the Scofield Bible, which was commissioned by the Rothschilds. Samuel Untermeyer was Scofield's handler, and he basically wrote a lot of commentary in the Scofield Reference Bible to the Old and New Testament, and basically equated the Jewish people with Israel at every possible opportunity, right? And so then, given the fact that this Bible has been used by, let's say, Dallas Theological Seminary, Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and dozens of others, this idea that the Jews are the Israel of the Bible became a, just like the Holocaust, you know, the 6 million, it's been repeated so often ad nauseum that nobody ever questions it anymore, except people who have minds of their own and actually dig into history, at which my website, by the way, does. It proves that the Jews are not the Israelites at all, but they are, in fact, Edomites, Canaanites, and Khazars, who have impersonated true Israel and therefore pretend to be the beings of light, but are, in fact, the synagogue of Satan, creatures of absolute darkness. So it's a gradual process with the Scofield Bible being a major element, and then you have the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches, both being funded by the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, by which they influence the Christian churches by bringing in homosexuals, bringing in all kinds of liberal doctrine, Wicca, you name it, everything under the sun. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father but through me." But John Hagee says, "The Jews have their own path to salvation," right? Where did he get that idea from? Well, the Jews taught it to him.
Well, that's an interesting concept. I can't stomach him too often, but occasionally I do listen to him. Does he ever mention what that path is?
Well, apparently he obviously believes and has been instructed by them to teach that they are the Israel of the Old Testament, the Israel of the Bible, which they're not, okay? So, even the Old Testament says that they Israel will have a Messiah, and they will have to follow their Messiah. If they don't follow their Messiah, they're lost, right? So, but him saying that is absolutely absurd. And he denies that Jesus Christ ever claimed to be the Messiah.
Uh-huh.
And he did that at least a couple of dozen times in the New Testament. When the lady, the Syrophoenician woman, said, well, we're expecting the Messiah to come any day now. And he says to her, I am he. Right? That's what he says to her. I'm sure that's in Hagee's Bible, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
so he's yeah, go ahead.
You can tell who is sold out to the Jews amongst
right.
this group by the size of their churches. I mean, Hagee,
yeah.
Joyce Myers, who's that
yeah.
Love and Peace guy, the new guy on the street.
Osteen? Joel Osteen?
Yeah, Osteen, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
all these people, you know. It's just so obvious that they sold out, and that's why they've been allowed to become wealthy.
Right.
But this is a very serious situation that we find
yeah.
ourselves in. And the reason I answered the question, what's ailing America today is waiting for God to save us, is because what I have realized in my search for truth over the years, as I'm watching untold suffering and evil being allowed to grow on this planet,
right.
and so many people are waiting for God to save them, what I think has to happen is that people have to realize they have a personal responsibility. You are one of the only pastors, actually, that I've ever come across who actually says we have a duty to stand against evil.
That's
and
right.
That's what I wish people would do, is to take a stand, whatever they think that stand has to be. And, you know, let's argue about the Bible and all these little these tidbits that can never actually be proven, because this is keeping people in the distracted stage. That they're arguing over who's right about what translation of the Bible and all this other stuff. And in the meantime, they're killing us.
Right. Well, yeah, it's a great diversion. And the churches...
Yes.
The Judeo-Christian churches have become an actual partner in crime with the Antichrist by not exposing the evil.
Exactly.
Okay? I mean, if you're standing there watching somebody get beaten to death, it's your responsibility to intervene, to help that person.
Right.
And if you're not strong enough to intervene, yell for help. Call for the police. Do something. But the
right.
churches are the churches are standing idly by while global Zionism destroys the planet, and I mean politically, economically, ecologically, they are literally destroying our planet, and most of the Judeo-Christian denominations are cheering them on, okay, while others stand by idly and do nothing.
Right.
Okay.
And that's one of my big problems, because it goes beyond that. I know we've discussed this either on the air before or in emails, but the churches
right.
where I am are having vaccine clinics in the churches.
Right.
So it's not even just standing idly by. They are participating in the mass extermination of
yes,
the
are.
People. Yes.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. There's no doubt about this. And again, all this has been predicted. Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 predicted that the Christian world would be an utter deception, because not just because the of the brilliance of the deception. Satan had a really brilliant idea when he had his synagogue impersonate Israel and pawn themselves off to the world as Israel, as God's chosen people. But then he also infiltrated our own priesthood and made our own priesthood his own agents, preaching false doctrines, preaching lovey-dovey doctrines that aren't contained in the Bible. Obviously, the gospel means the good news, but the good news is the reference to the fact that Israel will be redeemed by Yahshua Messiah, that is Jesus Christ, right? And that also, that evil will be destroyed. See, it's a two-step process. At the first advent, he comes to redeem Israel of its past sins, and then at the second coming, he destroys evil for good so that it will never come again. It will be wiped off, it, not just off the earth. Evil will be wiped out from the universe,
right,
so that
yeah,
it can
I'm
no
waiting.
Longer affect us. Okay?
Yeah, I'm waiting for that day. So how yes. is Israel going to be redeemed of their sin? How can this monster that has destroyed everything that matters be redeemed?
Okay, like I said, it's a two-step process. The first advent, Jesus came as the Lamb, the Passover Lamb, and he was the object. He was the end of that law, which means that it's no longer necessary to sacrifice lambs for this redemption. That's part of the past. But that doesn't mean that all our future sins are forgiven. By no means. That is not a blank check to keep sinning as the modern churches interpret that. Okay? The Bible is very clear. Jesus says, "Those if you love me, keep my commandments, and those of you who do not keep my commandments, I will cut you asunder when I come again." So when he returns, he's going to kick ass. He's going to come as the Lion of Judah, and that Lion of Judah is going to tear apart the evil ones, and not just this abstract notion of evil, because evil is committed by people. Evil is committed by people. The evil is in them. They either accept the evil and do accordingly, or they reject the evil and do good. Okay? That's the only, yeah.
Okay, and this is a very important point I want to bring up now, because you had sent me an email, which I love.
Okay.
And this is what you wrote: although the Israelites acknowledged that their misery was often brought about by their refusal to obey the law, the Bible clearly states that the fall of Adam and Eve was brought about by the deceptive practices of the serpent. Deception
right.
and disobedience are two different things.
Yep.
Disobedience means that you know what you are doing. Deception means you have been tricked. Now,
that's
this
right.
is a very important point. I had sent you my most recent contribution to the American Survival newsletter entitled What's Ailing America? Alteration of Human Consciousness, in which I listed just a few of the ways that they are altering our consciousness. Vaccines,
yes.
mercury, magnetic pulses, scopolamine, high-frequency weapons, even music. I ran out of room. There are others. So therefore,
yeah.
how come with this good God that, you know, and of course good means, good. Good
he's
means
loving.
That it's not
He's right. actually a loving
so,
God. Yeah.
Right. So why is this alteration of consciousness being allowed? Because therefore, as you so clearly stated, this is not disobedience. This is deception.
Right.
How can people be held liable for their deception? Because there are some things, yeah, they should be doing the homework on vaccines and such as
right.
that.
Yeah,
but there
exactly.
are other things. There are other things that are being done on a global scale: chemtrails, heart machine frequencies, television, and the hypnosis, silent sound frequencies, all this kind of stuff. How can
yes.
people be held liable that their minds are being altered in such a way that they can't even think?
Right. Well, they're not actually being held liable to the full extent of the law, because Yahweh understands that when you're tricked into something. For example, let's go back to Eve. Yahweh told Eve not to touch that tree. Okay? He says, if you touch that tree, you will die. Okay? So then along came the serpent, which actually means enchanter or deceiver, somebody who whispers in your ear and whispers sweet lies, okay? So instead of following Yahweh's law, which he said, do not touch that tree, and tree in the Old Testament means family trees. It means literal trees like wood, but it also means family trees of peoples and races, okay? It also means that. So we're not supposed to... Yeah, okay? So we're not supposed to touch certain trees, especially the tree of the fallen ones, which is, in Genesis chapter 3, a tree that has knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So, the trickster, by with his wordsmithing, with his clever wordsmithing, fooled Eve into believing that if she follows him, she will not die. But of course, we know what happened. She did eventually die. After it took Adam 960 years before he finally died, and today we don't live nearly that long. But death came into the Adamic species as a result of this deception. Okay, so I look at it this way: whether you are deliberately driving over a cliff, or whether somebody tricked you into driving over a cliff, the end result is the same. Okay. What's the lesson? The lesson is you must obey his laws, otherwise you will be tricked. Okay? And
Wait a minute. Your mind is being controlled, if you are like the James Holmes, a Manchurian candidate, if you are undergoing MK Ultra torture programming, how can you possibly avoid going over the cliff?
Right. So understood. You can't. And that's the problem. And the problem is our relationship as individuals and as a species, and really the whole planet, our relationship with Yahweh and his laws. If we consciously or unconsciously disobey his laws, we get burnt. You know, it's like you may know enough not to touch that hot stove, but you may accidentally touch it. What happens? You get burnt, okay? In other words, you have to make the law a part of yourself, so that it never departs from you. And that's what was prophesied in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 37, which says that I will write my laws in your hearts. That's the new covenant. The new covenant is his law being written in our hearts, not being done away with, as the churches falsely teach. Okay? So we've got constant deception going on, and the lesson for us, and Dr. Carley, this is a very hard lesson to learn. It comes with a lot of grief, but the lesson must be learned. You cannot disobey his laws and get away with it, okay? But there's another aspect to it. There's also out there a deceiver, a great deceiver, who pretends to be good. And he's a smooth-talking shyster who has trained a whole slew of rabbis and priests who pretend to be good and are really the biggest force of evil in the world today. And I'm talking about the rabbis and their Judeo-Christian priesthood followers. And most of the Judeo-Christians follow them, whether they realize it or not. Okay? So the lesson is this. How do we overcome all this programming? How do we overcome evil with good? Especially since all of this evil, most of this evil that's happening in the world today proceeds from deception, not from deliberate evil. Now, so we have to distinguish between the two. There are a lot of people who commit evil deliberately, knowing they're doing evil, and that type of evil must be punished to the full extent of the law. Okay? But you brought up an interesting point. You know, these people who are doing it by rote, having been trained to do so, they should know better. They should know better. Why don't they know better? It's because they're not paying attention to the scriptures. They're listening to the sweet lies.
I'm also talking about the children, okay?
Oh,
of
course.
The millions of innocents that are being slaughtered.
That aren't
even old enough to read the scriptures,
right.
Okay?
Right.
They're being sacrificed. Now, where I have a problem is that obviously God knew this was going to happen and God allowed it. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, it all goes back to free will. When Yahweh created the universe, he created beings that are pretty much imitations or smaller versions of himself. And they have to have free will in order to understand, to comprehend who they are and what they are, okay? He anticipated that there would be a major rebellion by some of these creatures, okay? And he actually made preparations for all of this way back when, because Paul talks about the predestinated people namely those within Israel who are predestined to be the elect, that he prepared us even before the world was formed for this eventuality. Okay? So given the fact that he has to allow free will, if you and I didn't have free will, we'd be robots. Our consciousness would be superfluous. Yeah, we wouldn't need to
have a consciousness.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. My answer today is waiting for God to save us with my guest pastor, Eli James. And I just want to mention one thing just to underline it for the listeners, that when you're talking about Israel, you're not talking about the Jewish state, correct?
That's right. Nor the Jewish people either.
Right. Okay. So
Israel is neither the Jews nor the Israeli state. That's a lie. Yeah.
And when you get your website back up, people have to access that to learn more about that, because that could take up an entire weekend to do shows about that.
That's for sure, right.
Right.
That's the reason they took my website down, because it contained that information. Yeah.
But the deception is so rampant, and this gets back to my question, that God knew this was going to happen.
Yes.
He allowed it to happen. You say he made preparations, but of course the evil is growing every day.
Oh, yeah, and the evil is getting worse and worse and worse, and the Bible also predicts this. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, there will come a day which is so full of tribulation, and, you know, Colorado's burning, Oklahoma's burning, the West Coast's burning. You know, we're in the middle of this Judgment Day period right now. There's no doubt about it, okay?
Wait a minute. I don't look at this as a Judgment Day thing, because the psychopaths are making it happen.
God is
allowing it.
Go ahead. Well, what he's doing is he's allowing them to condemn themselves. You know, the old expression, to give the man enough rope to hang himself with, okay?
Yeah.
What Yahweh is doing, he is separating the people into two groups. Those who deliberately do evil knowingly, and those who are innocent of knowingly doing wrong. Within that second category, there are people who have been tricked into doing evil things without realizing. They actually believe they're doing good. Okay? They have been so thoroughly deceived by Satan that they actually believe that they're doing good when they should know better. But it's precisely because they've been listening to false doctrine that they don't know better. Okay.
I'm not concerned about that group. Let them die. Okay.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the
attitude as Yahweh, right?
Okay. I'm concerned about the innocents that are dying without being deceived, doing anything wrong. They are being taken out. It's a massive genocide against humanity that has a conscience.
Right.
Why is that being allowed?
Well, the Bible says very clearly that no person is judged except for the sins they commit themselves, okay? So in the case of an innocent baby that hasn't even had the opportunity to sin, okay, it seems on the surface this is really bad. Why would Yahweh allow all this to happen, okay? As I said, you have to understand that free will could not mean anything unless those of us who possess it can do evil. That's the only sense in which Yahweh allows evil to... He does not do it himself. The Bible is very clear that he does not perform any evil acts. It's we who perform evil acts. Okay?
Okay. Don't put me in that category. First of all, you're not answering my question.
I'm setting it up.
Okay.
Because I want to get to your question.
The baby has no free will.
Right.
The baby has no free will. The baby's being raped, murdered, tortured, sacrificed, etc.
Okay.
Why is that allowed?
Okay.
Go ahead.
But let me bring it back to your son, which he's... how old was he when this happened? You say he was molested.
3 years old.
He was violently sodomized
so that he couldn't walk. Three years old.
All right. So let me put it to you this way. Who sodomized your son? Was it the perpetrator, or was it Yahweh? Okay.
The perpetrator, Yahweh watched and allowed it to happen.
Well, again, there's free will, okay? And for free will to mean anything, it has to be permitted to do evil acts. But Yahweh did not do that. See, you can't blame Yahweh for something that was done by somebody else. Okay?
How come... Yeah. Wait. How come only the evil people are allowed to have free will? They're the only ones
that
have
free will, too. We have free will to do good. Okay? I mean, free will cuts both ways, certainly. Right? But ultimately, getting back to the innocent children, obviously, many of them die in these wars created by these evil beings, okay? The Zionist war machine, okay? These little babies didn't do anything. They did not commit any evil act. It's a mistake, however, to presume that Yahweh has judged them. He says that there is a greater place for us. This is not the only existence. There's a greater existence called the kingdom, which is yet to come, and which we are all preparing for. And these innocent children who died in these wars committed by the Zionists will be rewarded, whether, you know, even though they did not have the opportunity to fight against this machine as you are doing so well in this lifetime. Okay? So that's the best answer I can give you. First of all, you cannot blame Yahweh for something that somebody else did of his own free will. Okay? But he could not have made this universe without free will. It would have been meaningless to do so. Okay?
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Now, interestingly, Martin Luther had this to say about the school of affliction, which you and I are really members of. Both of us have experienced a lot of affliction. First of all, let me just say that your son will not be judged for anything done to him by other people, okay? Neither is
any
child.
I should hope not. That would be insane.
Of course it would. Of course it would. But remember, this is not the only world. This is not the only life. Our people have eternal souls, which they still possess unless they forfeit their eternal soul by constantly committing evil in an unrepentant manner. Okay?
Okay.
Here's what Martin Luther had to say. On the 8th of August, 1529, Martin Luther with his wife lay sick of a fever, overwhelmed with dysentery, sciatica. And if you haven't experienced sciatica, you don't know what pain is. And a dozen other maladies, he said, God has touched me sorely, and I have been impatient. But God knows better than we whereto it serves. Our Lord God is like a printer who sets the letters backwards so that here we must read them. When we are printed off yonder in the life to come, we shall read all clear and straightforward. Meantime, we must have patience. We must have endurance. And there's a reason for this. Tribulation is a right school and exercise of the flesh and blood. My tribulations are more necessary for me than meat and drink. And all they that feel them ought to accustom themselves thereunto and learn to bear them. If Satan had not so plagued and exercised me, I should not have been so great an enemy unto him, or have been able to do him such hurt. Okay? So what's he saying? He's saying, in the school of hard knocks, we become the proponents, the active proponents of good against evil, because we really understand evil and how it operates. The vast majority of people do not understand how evil operates. And because they refuse to listen, it just keeps on biting them in the ass, right? Okay? He says, tribulations keep us from pride, and therewith increase the acknowledgement of Christ and of God's gifts and benefits. For from the time I began to be in tribulation, God gave me the victory of overcoming that confounded, cursed, and blasphemous life wherein I lived in popedom. Okay? Had he not experienced all this tribulation, he would not have realized how evil the Vatican was. He would have not challenged it. There would have been no Reformation. The Reformation was a great advance in civilization. But now we're in, you could call that the Catholic Inquisition. Okay? But now we're in the midst of the Zionist Inquisition. And there's only a few people capable of comprehending the nature of the evil, And you and I are bringing the light out, as Martin Luther did in his time, as to what's the cause of this evil and how do we overcome it. Okay?
The problem, once again, is that the masses are being mind-controlled. So how can they possibly conceive of what we're even talking about?
Well, that's what we're here for. The Bible also says that his prophets will enlighten the people. But let me put it this way. There's a book written about heroin. The title is, "It's So Good, Don't Even Try It Once." Right? "It's So Good, Don't Even Try It Once." The world has tried evil, pretending that it's good. Okay, they've fallen into the illusion, and the devil has been very tricky, very, very smart and sinister by slipping in a lie here, a lie there. This has been going on for 6,000 years, Dr. Carley.
Yes.
For 6,000 years, okay? But the good side of all this is the Bible provides an antidote, and it says that this evil will be overcome and it will be destroyed. As Martin Luther said, we just have to be patient, because as we are tried as individuals, we begin shining the light that the world is lacking. Jesus said, "We are the light of this world."
Okay, and on that note, we're going to break. This is a longer break, like 6 minutes, so if you need to get a drink of water or something.
Okay.
We'll be back after these messages, folks. Stay tuned.